If you're here for the first time, I want to welcome you to a series that we are doing in Pursuit. It's actually on values. And values aren't something that people usually talk about very much, but they are so important in our lives. Values, if you like, are like the riverbanks in our life. We don't take much notice of the riverbanks. But if you've got a river that has no riverbanks, you end up with a flood or you end up with a marsh. And there is no life. In a marsh, it's just stagnant water. But when you have riverbanks, what happens with the river is that it starts to flow, and it flows with momentum and it flows with strength. And I believe it's a picture of what God wants for us as individuals and as a church, for us to know that we have riverbanks in place so that we know where the river is going. And if you've got a good, strong river, all you have to do is jump in a river or in a tube and you can just float down that river. And that's what culture does. Culture picks us up and culture carries us. And many of us have been carried by the culture that we've been born into. And some of us have had to deal with issues because we've just been carried along by our culture. And we thought, well, that was fine. Until we started finding out that God had a slightly different culture. Who's been there and discovered that the culture that you were raised with is different from the kingdom culture? Yep, most of you are starting to put your hand up now. So what we're doing as a church is we're going through and we're having a look at the culture of pursuit. And some of the ones that we're bringing up, you'll go, yes, totally agree with that. Other ones that we bring up, you're going to go, yeah, okay. And that's normal. Because we have different gifts in the body. And we'll talk about that more as we go along. But this morning we're just going to jump straight in and we're going to look at the eight that we have brought up as the values of pursuit. They're not our only values, but they're kind of the main ones. Number one, valuing His presence. If you've been at Pursuit for a while, you'll recognize that, yes, that is our number one. Number two, believing in His goodness, declaring His word, living under grace, guided by the Spirit, extending the kingdom, serving people, and releasing honor. So we're having fun going through these and talking about what they look like, what they don't look like. And one of the things that we have been talking about when it comes to values is avoiding extremes. And we've used the picture of a road that we know in New Zealand that we drive on the left-hand side of the road. If you drive on the right-hand side of the road in New Zealand, you will have problems. But if you go to the States and you drive on the left-hand side of the road, you will have problems. See, we need to know what side of the road we drive on. And that's like the emphasis that we have. But if you go too far one way or the other, you end up in a place called the ditch. And so as we start this morning, and we're going to be talking about declaring His word, and I thought that it might be good this morning to start off with avoiding the extremes. Because when it comes to this whole area of the Word of God, there are some extremes out there. So we don't want people to be in the ditch. Yes, we need to understand what this value is, but if we take it too far, we have problems. So let's have a look. We're going to actually look at both sides of the road and ditches on both sides. Who's discovered that? It's a ditch on both sides of the road. The first one is knowledge devoid of relationship. Unfortunately, there are people who grab hold of the Word of God and they study it and they analyze it and they go through it and they think they understand what it is. The only thing is they don't have a relationship with the one who wrote it. See, it was written by men, but the author behind that was God. God loves to do things with us and through us, so he gave us a book that came through man, but he is the author of it. And Jesus says this in John 5:39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." Now he was talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees spent hour upon hour upon hour upon hour studying the scriptures. But they didn't know the God who was standing in front of them. I don't know if you've met people like this, but they're hard to deal with because they have knowledge. And the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So that's the ditch on one side of the road. But guess what happens? See, to react to an error often creates another error. And many times that happens when there is an error, when something's been pushed too far. It's like the pendulum starts to swing back the other way. So what's the other end of the pendulum swing? Statements such as, "We don't need the Bible, we just need to hear from God for ourselves." So every era has an element of truth, and there is an element of truth there. But you take it to extremes, you'll end up in a ditch. So let's go back to the scripture that we were looking at. Back to John 5. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Jesus saying, the Bible speaks of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. See, the problem with people who are studying the Bible and end up with no life and far away from God is the fact that they refuse to come to God. It's their independence. And to think we can understand the book without knowing the author is pride in the basis form and deception when it goes full-blown. Another interesting thing is after Jesus was crucified, you have the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes and starts to walk with them. Now, they don't know it's Jesus. All they know is that the most horrific thing has happened. This Jesus whom they have been following has been crucified. He's dead. He's been buried. All their dreams have been squashed. Their hopes have been dashed. They're just wandering to this town. They're not quite sure what to do. And they're walking along this road. And this person comes up and says, "Tell me what's on your heart." And they just pour out their heart to him. When Jesus reveals himself to them, it's interesting what he does and what he says. Luke 24:27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, sometimes it's interesting to look at what he didn't do. He didn't say, "Well, remember that time when I spoke to you and you just felt my presence, just love on you? Can you remember that time when you prayed for that person and they got healed?" He didn't take them back to experience. He didn't take them back to what they knew. He took them back to the Word of God. And he said, "Look at the word. Base what you know and what you understand in the word. And the trouble is, for many people, they don't have the word. They're not reading it. They're not listening to it. The third ditch. Forbidding to speak anything negative. If you know Ray and my story, you know that we fell into this ditch big time. We had been warned before we left New Zealand to go and help pioneer a church in Hawaii. We had been warned, don't go near the faith message. Stay away from that stuff. Well, we got to the States, and guess what? We met up with the faith message. Ray fell in love with the faith message. Ray is a man of passion. And when you're a person of passion, often what will happen is that you will take something to extremes. And some of you are nodding because you either are one or you know one who does that. So Ray was great. We're grabbing hold of faith. We're going to fake it till we make it. We're going to blab it till we grab it. We're going to declare it. We're going to see it. And guess what? No negatives. Guess what? Negatives don't go away unless you deal with them. And many times what is pushed down will start to manifest in other ways. It will start to manifest through our emotions. It will start to manifest through our health. It will start to manifest in the deterioration of relationships. So if you get in that ditch, there is hope you can get out. We did. And we've had some good long talks since then. But there are some extremes that we need to be aware of. So let me throw in, this is from the Amplified Version of James 5:16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults. Faults? That sounds a bit negative, doesn't it? Your slips, your false steps, your offences, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. We need to understand the power of the Word of God, but we also need to understand the power of prayer. And there are times when we need to speak to others and we need to let people pray for us in our weakness. Good place to nod. I'm not expecting an amen, but it's a good place to nod. So let's go and have a look at some things. What does this mean? Well, number one, the Bible is inspired by God. As I said earlier, He wrote it. It's his book. If you want to understand it, talk to him about it. Second, the Bible is the final authority regarding revelation and prophetic insight. Let me throw up the scripture for you and then we'll talk about that one. Matthew 22:29, Jesus talking to the Sadducees. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." That word mistaken means error. It means to wander from the truth. It means to be deceived. And Jesus said, "You're deceived because you don't know the scriptures." See, if we don't make the scriptures as our foundation for every prophetic word that comes, what are we going to use? Oh, that one felt nice. Or are we going to use public opinion? Are we going to ask others, well, what do you think? They said this. What do you think of this latest revelation? Well, maybe we should Google it. Let's see what they're saying. If we don't have the Word of God as the final authority, then we have no final authority. We are open target to be deceived. You need to know the Word of God. See, we have a very open culture here regarding people prophesying. We want people to learn to prophesy. But that means that we're also going to have people who are going to walk in here and they're going to say some goofy things. It happened a couple of weeks ago. We had somebody come in here and started speaking some goofy things. And when he wasn't agreed with, he called down the wrath of God on us. Now, some of you are going, oh, goodness. When you know the Word of God, you know a curse without a cause does not alight. Know the Scripture, no problems. You need to know the Word. Because if you don't know the Word, you are a target for anything to be thrown your way. Ephesians talks about don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There's lots of winds of doctrine out there. You go on the internet, you'll hear all kinds of crazy things. Instead of going to the internet, how about go to your Bible and start reading the Bible? Find out what it says so that you're strong in your faith. We need to know the Scriptures and the power of God. See, some people have this concept that you have the Spirit of God on one side and way, 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 way over on the other side you have the Word of God. And well, we want the Spirit of God, so we're definitely going to be over this side because we want the Spirit of God, right? Well, we'll just leave the Word because we don't need the Word. We've got the Spirit. You forget He is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said that one of His jobs for us is to be our teacher, and He will guide us into all truth. Jesus said He will take my words and He will teach them to you. It is not either or, it is both and. And if we have one without the other, we can crash and burn. God doesn't want that. Third thing this means is the Word of God renews our mind, transforms our life, and releases to us the provision of God. Let me give you two scriptures for that. Let them speak. Romans 12:2, probably familiar with, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God wants to build you up and He wants to give you an inheritance. How does He do that? He gives you a promise from the Word. First comes the Word, and then the substance of that Word. Last, the Word of God is the basis of our hope, the foundation of our faith, and the standard for our life. It's huge, folks. Don't believe the lie that you don't need the Word of God, that you only need to hear God talk to you. Well, guess what? A lot of the times He talks to you, He will talk through His Word. How many people have asked? I know it's happened with Ray and I, where I've gone and asked him something. Well, what about such and such? And Ray has said, but I've already told you about that. Anybody else had that happen, where you've gone to ask somebody and they've said, but I've already told you about that? Am I the only one? Oh, good. I'm not the only one. You know, sometimes God's the same. Sometimes we're going to Him, we're asking questions. God, what do I do about this? How should I do that? And He's going, I've already told you. It's in my book. It might be a woman's thing. I think I'll push on. Another couple of wonderful scriptures. Second Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In Psalm 107:20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Do you know what that means? That means that when you tell God about a need you have, first thing He's going to do is send you the word. He's not going to send you the answer. I'm just letting that one settle for some people. Because we think we tell God about a need and God answers the need. No, God says, you tell me about the need and I'll tell you about my promise. And when you receive my promise and you start declaring my promise, you start to have faith. Amen. Good, I'm going to stay preaching to this one. Have you ever heard little kids? Now we'll get off husbands and wives, we'll go to kids. Have you ever heard kids say one to another, but Mum says so? Okay, you've heard that. Or Nana says so. Okay? What's that kid doing? That kid is knowing that the words that they speak will carry authority because of the one who spoke them. Mum says, or Dad says, or Nana says. My words carry authority because they said it. Do you know that we're meant to have the faith of a child that says, my dad says that I will have all my needs met according to his riches in heaven and glory, actually. But it doesn't matter even when kids quote things wrong. They just know that they have authority in what they say because of the one who said it. Do you know that you have authority in the words that you declare because of whose words they are? They're not your words, they're God's words. And what's more, they are eternal. Jesus said, none of my words will pass away. We can look around at all creation. We can look at the things that we've established. We can look at our life and everything that we have. All of it will pass away, but the word of God will not. I think maybe we meant to treat it a little bit more like it's something precious. When we declare the Word of God, we are partnering with Him in transforming the world. Does your world need to be transformed? Well, maybe find out what God's saying. And yes, there'll be times when it won't be a quote from the Word of God. There'll be times when it's just something that's a revelation in your heart. But I've found over the years that the things that I've been able to stand on and declare with such confidence and authority have been the words that have come from the book. They've been the foundation I've stood on. Because I've been able to question, well, I think I heard God say. Or, well, was that just me? Was that just hopeful thinking? Was that just me being positive? But when I read it in the book, it's like, God, you said. And He loves that. When we take His word and we say, God, you said. And He says, that's right, let's change your world. So let's finish by talking about personal application. Number one, don't read the Bible alone. What do I mean by that? I'm not meaning that you have to get in a study group. What I'm meaning is that when you read the Bible, read it with God. I love reading the Bible. It's part of my gift. Because one of my gifts is a teacher. And one of my prayers for this morning has been that as I share, that you too would start to pick up a love for the Word of God. See, I know some people find it hard to read. That's okay. It's God's book. Don't expect it to be easy. But do you know, there's sometimes when you pick up the Word of God and you come and you sit in Papa's lap and it's like it becomes a picture book and you start to read and you start to see, like the story of the leper that comes and you see this man who is being destroyed by this disease. He's dirty, he's unclean, he can't go home, he has no friends, he has no relationship. He's an outcast. And you see him as you read through the Bible and you see him come and he just falls in the dirt before Jesus. And he knows that he's risking everything because he's unclean. He shouldn't even be there. And you start to see this man as he calls out to Jesus, and all he can say is, if you are willing, you could make me clean. And then as you read, you start to see the goodness and the love of Jesus as he touches that man. If you've got any idea what that would have felt like for that man, he was untouchable. And as you start to see Jesus, who would reach out and touch one who was dirty, one who's diseased, one who's being eaten alive by this foul disease. And he reaches out and he touches him. And as he does, he imparts to this man such hope. And the man starts to look up and he looks into the eyes of one who is so full of love and compassion. And you imagine what it's like to look into those eyes and to see every disease healed, every ounce of darkness removed, every ounce of hopelessness to go from your life. When you start to read the Bible like that, you'll fall in love with it. Don't treat it as something that you've just got to read because you've got to read. And sadly, many people do. See, let me let you in on a secret. I've never read through the Bible in a year. Reading so many chapters from here and so many chapters from there. Got to read that every morning. I've never been able to succeed in doing that. If you have, God bless you. Me, I get partway through and I just find a verse and it's like, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Because sometimes when you open the Bible, it's like this huge book and you feel like you're a little wee five-year-old at school reading the words and you go, what does that mean? And the Holy Spirit says, well, remember this scripture and that one and read over here and keep reading down. And all of a sudden you have a tutor with you who starts to break open the Word of God. See, I can't tell you how long I read the Bible for in the morning because I don't read it to a clock. I read it to a relationship. And Papa wants us to be able to love his word and to read it and to know that it's a love letter from him. So if you want to set up your thing of you must read this and read that and that, that's fine if that works for you. But for me, I'd rather read one verse with God than 10 verses without him. It's not a textbook. It's a life book. Put the life back in to your reading of the Bible. Because read it with the one who is life. It's a wonderful book. Treat it as precious. Thessalonians 2:13 says this, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Folks, what we believe is what we receive. See, I don't know about you, but I'm not worried about who stands behind this pulpit. But whenever somebody stands behind this pulpit and starts to speak, I have notepad and pen ready. Because I expect to hear his voice. Because I expect that when somebody is in the pulpit, they are preaching God's word and not just their word. And I receive because that's what I believe. And Paul's saying here, if you think it's just the words of men, you'll go home and go, oh yeah, not sure what it's about, but yeah, those are right. But if you receive it as God's word, you're listening and saying, what are you saying to me this morning? There's gems here for me, and I want to take them home. Don't leave home, leave church empty-handed. Hear what God's saying to you in a message. I often pray before I preach, God, you speak the message that you want heard by the people here this morning, because the Holy Spirit can give you your own unique sermon if you come and you listen for his voice. Otherwise, why do we bother to come? Interesting question. Let his word dwell in you. His word is the foundation that we have. I love this verse from Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Your words were found and I ate them. Don't just treat reading the Bible as an, oh well, I suppose I better do it. Haven't done it for the last few days, so yeah, I suppose I better read the Bible this morning. Oh goodness, this is such a long chapter, when it's going to end? That's sad. And if that's what your life and reading the Bible is like, I want to pray for you this morning for an impartation of the love of the Word of God. Because it should be a joy. See, I don't know about you, but it's a wee while ago that Ray and I were courting. But at home I have every letter and every card that he ever sent to me. Because they're precious. And when he wrote me letters, because we lived apart, we weren't in the same town, I read and I reread and I read again and I tried to guess what was between the lines of what he didn't say. Yeah. Some of you are guessing that. That's what the Word of God is meant to be. It's a love letter. Where it's like, oh yeah, I've read this before. No. It's like, this is a love letter. What are you saying to my heart? What do you want me to know? Declare God's word and change your world. That's one of the awesome privileges that we have. We are creators because we are made in the image of the Creator. And he has given us the very tools that he used to create. It's words. That's what he used to make everything that we see. And then he says, now it's your turn. You have a go. Like parents giving kids some cookie dough. Have some fun. Make something. Let's cook it up and enjoy eating it. You can create your world because you have the very thing that God used. You have words. In fact, he's given you his words. If you doubt the ability of your words, just pick some of God's. Last scripture, Job 22:28. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. Tremendous power in our words. You will declare a thing. And I could just start on preaching about what are you declaring, what are you saying. But our time is up. But I really want to pray for some people this morning. People who struggle to read the Word of God.